Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob, you mentioned it. Aaron Rodgers. I predicted 286 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. He goes out 255 yards on 22 of 27 passing, four touchdowns, no picks, 35-17 win over Detroit. Here's what I feel, Rob. Nothing that happened yesterday, certainly in the second half, surprised me. I was a little surprised in the first half. They're down 17-14 at half to Detroit.
But we did Detroit, that first half. You remember we said sometimes bad teams come out early, you know what I mean, and stick in the game, and then they fall back.
Absolutely. We mentioned they can hang for two quarters, but that's about it. We saw the same thing with Detroit with San Francisco. They looked pretty good for a little while.
And then they got blown out.
Right. So Rodgers was great. He took what they gave him in the first half. They went cover two. They dared him to run the ball and stick to the short stuff. And he did. He was smart. And in the second half, he unloaded a couple great deep passes. One to Devontae
Right on
Adams
the money.
Oh, my gosh.
Pinpoint.
You couldn't throw it any better.
Yeah. No.
And he was guarded well. Like,
he placed it in the perfect spot.
Where it needed
right,
to be.
Right. There was nowhere else you could throw that ball for him to make that play.
Yep.
And that's one of those where you just look and you say, my God, how did he throw that down?
Nah, it was a tremendous pass and reminded you that he's Aaron Rodgers. But he said after the game, Rod, he did not look. He went after the trolls. Here's what he said.
He said he's from Salam.
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that. Even more now than when I started playing, there's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
That was directed at Ephraim Salam. He can respond coming up on The Odd Couple. He just didn't say
his name. Honestly, Rob, if you had to name one guy, I would name JerMichael Finley.
No, JerMichael Finley.
Who
definitely
would you name?
Him.
Would you?
Bucky Brooks made a big stake. I saw Bucky Brooks. He really did say, though,
like JerMichael, again, Rob, and we talked about this last week, unless he was talking to Packers players, right? Unless he was talking to Packers coaches or executives or whatever, he went out there and said he doesn't see the same fire. He's not work. I don't see the same work ethic. How would he know? He's not playing in Green Bay anymore. And so that fits the description of Rodgers saying the BS.
Right.
Everybody else gave their opinion. They gave their view. But nobody went like, oh, he doesn't work hard anymore.
And he said I can see it through the helmet. You could see what? You're on your couch in your living room. What did you see? Because you know what? You need Windex on that 72-inch screen or whatever you're watching. And Aaron Rodgers, again, Chris, I called it a bad day at the office. I pointed out that he's had stinkers, clunkers, every year the last 3 or 4 years where he has a bad game. He had a bad game last year in Tampa Bay, up 10-0, threw a couple of bad picks. They got steamrolled, and he still went out and won the MVP. Remember, he was behind. Russell Wilson was ahead of him. Dak Prescott was ahead of him. Chris, there were a couple other.
I wouldn't go with Dak, but.
Well, he had big numbers.
They were losing, though. Remember, they were
losing. Yeah, they had big numbers. Like, who else was there was somebody else who was ahead of him.
I mean, Wilson was the front runner early.
Mahomes was there.
But yeah, he was.
Those two guys Mahomes were ahead of him, definitely,
there.
Early on. Yeah. And he stormed back. And he had the chip on his shoulder. And I there's no reason for me to believe that Aaron Rodgers, hello, is this on? Are you recording this? Aaron Rodgers can win the MVP again.
Wow.
Yes, he can. I saw it with my own two eyes last night. It's not an overreaction. It's not prisoner of the moment. He carved up the Lions like they were Thanksgiving dinner. Yes. Did you see those flicks of the wrist? My goodness. The Lions didn't know what hit them in the second half. Aaron Rodgers for president. Aaron Rodgers for MVP. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers' messiah, at least for one more year. Yes! He can do it, Chris.
All right, here's what I'm going to say, Rob, to that. I don't even know that that deserved a hand clap.
Yes,
Rob,
thank you. Parker.
You've had some great soliloquies. That wasn't one of them. Because I'm going to give Rob Parker the Rob Parker treatment. If a caller called up to the Odd Couple and said, Aaron Rodgers can win the MVP, Rob Parker would say, no. This is the Odd Couple. We don't do that. We don't do can. Of course he can. And so can Pat Mahomes. And so can Matt Stafford. And so can Josh Allen. And so can Lamar Jackson. And so can about 10 other players. All right? No, you do not get away with that, Rob Parker. You know.
What?
You know that was feckless. It was feeble. It was puny. You said nothing. Rodgers can win. Yeah. Okay. Will he or won't he?
Aaron Rodgers, mark the spot. Are you ready?
You already said Lamar Jackson was your pick, so remember that.
I'm backing off of Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
Even after he beat Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. The numbers and what he's doing time and time again. Are amazing, and I'm going to give you some numbers on where Aaron Rodgers of late has done. Aaron Rodgers with the 4 touchdown passes, Chris, his last 18 games, he's thrown 4 touchdowns 8 times, including 3 of the last 4 games. That's 44% of his last 18 regular season games where he's thrown 4 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, other than that little hiccup, is right back where he was last year when he was the MVP, going away. And he picked up right where he left off, other than the one bad game, the hiccup. Aaron Rodgers, you hear me? Lamar, I love what you did against Kansas City. It was amazing. You're the best quarterback in the AFC. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the National Football League.
And say it. Say it with your chest.
My chest is out. You see my Jordan shirt I'm wearing?
Who's going to be the MVP this year?
Aaron freaking Rodgers.
All right. Now, my pick was Tom Brady. I almost hope, though, that Lamar Jackson wins it.
For me, changing my
pick. Right. Excuse me. All right, I'll give you credit for coming with that strong take. I don't agree. Now, like you said, it's so early, it doesn't matter who's in front of who. But right now, and I think you'd agree, Rob, I think Tom Brady's a front runner. You might not agree with that, but he's certainly ahead of Rodgers at this point. 4 touchdowns. He does it every week. He's done it 4 straight, his last 4 games. That's just a day at the office with Tom Brady. But Kyler Murray, who I think Vegas has as the favorite right now, he's also ahead of Rodgers. Pat Mahomes, I would say, is too. Derek Carr and Matt Stafford. And you can argue about Lamar and Derrick Henry. But it's so early, it doesn't really matter at this point. I don't think he'll win the MVP, Rob. But he certainly can, as you said at first. You let me trick you into going further. You should have stayed with can. Because I do not think
I don't have to. He can win the,
MVP. Yes, he can. There's no doubt he can.
And I think that he has something. This is one of those. Aaron Rodgers is at his best when he's with the FU kind of mentality.
Ooh.
And that's where he is now in his career with FU to Green Bay. F you to all these former players and these guys who are got, you know, their panties in the bunch. Finley and Bucky Brooks and all these other people keep taking shots at him every chance. And Ephraim Salaam, who he called out without saying his name. That was for you, Ephraim. He was talking to you. Because last week you were like, I got a thing that's a gay. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is. I think Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if he's committed to play. You still don't think he's committed? Ephraim Salaam.
All right, I agree with you, Rob. I said on First Things First this morning exactly what you just said. Aaron Rodgers, look, he's consistently great. So it's not like his performance fluctuates, you know, with the national narrative. Right. But I believe, Rob, he is at his best when he feels like he's got something to prove. Because that's been his life. Since he put on football pads.
And he was overlooked
He wasn't even recruited heavily out of high school. He had to go to a junior college for a year. Then he goes to Cal, which is no football power. And he drops in the draft, even though he was great at Cal. He falls in the draft to late first round. Then he has to sit on the bench for 3 years behind Brett Favre. And so he comes out, and in his third year as a starter, he wins a Super Bowl. And then last year, the Packers draft Jordan Love. He's upset. And, Rob, there were also some saying Rodgers wasn't the same because, remember, he had a couple of – for him, you would call not very good years with the injuries he struggled with.
But
and
I'm glad
he
you
was
said
good, but he wasn't
him.
Great. Yeah,
most,
he wasn't
most
great.
Quarterbacks
he was
would
solid.
Take.
Yeah. But he goes out last year with the negative narrative – and wins the MVP. I think it's his best year, Rob, ever. Even with the 2011 year.
Right. Even that year just had a better quarterback rating, I think. Right.
The but he had,
better.
I think, more touchdowns
but all of his
last
numbers,
year.
Right.
Fewer
last
picks,
year was,
yeah.
was an unbelievable year, numbers.
And then, Rob, this summer, I think he won the offseason. There were some detractors. You and I didn't love what he did. But I think overall, people felt, you know, they sided with Rodgers. He told the Packers off. They gave him what he wanted, Randall Cobb. He can get out of there earlier if he wants as far as leaving Green Bay. So he got a lot of that. And then he tells Aaron Andrews on the air, our Fox Sports colleague, that he doesn't feel like he has anything left to prove. He was kind of like, chill. That's not him. That's not when he's at his best. And he goes out and has a clunker. Now the chip is back on his shoulder, Rob. And while I disagree with you on the MVP, I do agree with you that that is a good thing for the Green Bay Packers. So he could be in for another great year. There's no doubt about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
He's a former NFL offensive lineman, does a terrific job here at Fox Sports Radio as a weekend host. Ephraim Salaam, what up?
What's happening?
Hey, yo, I got a bone to pick with you. I'm going to warn you. Let me warn him first. Rob,
I don't need a warning. I don't need a warning. You just
all
let
right,
him do
right,
his thing.
All right. I'm done. I'm done.
After all that baloney you gave us last week about Aaron Rodgers, I'm calling you Ephraim Salami. That's your new name until you okay. come better than you gave us last week. I don't know about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he really wants to play. I don't know if his heart is still in it. If I were your teammate, I would be mad because he had a bad day at the office. That's what I told you it was.
Okay, what I said, I didn't say that, number one. I didn't whine about it. What I said was, the question was, is Aaron Rodgers at fault and does the offseason have anything to do with it? And I answered it correctly. Now, you're all up in arms like he's back in it. Who did they just play last night?
It doesn't matter. Tom Brady
matter.
Played the
it
damn Atlanta
matter.
Falcons, and everybody's ranting and raving about what he's done. You can't
you're
have that two-sided coin because this is what guys do. I'm not talking
about
you
about
only.
Tom Brady.
I'm talking about people pick and choose what teams. If he lost to the Lions, Ephraim, you would be killing him today. You
Rob,
would tell me you
Rob,
wouldn't. No.
Rob.
I
how
want
many
you to
times
answer that
has
question.
Aaron Rodgers? How many times has Aaron Rodgers lost to the Detroit Lions at home Go.
I'm asking you, had he lost, I'm asking you.
I just asked a question.
Had he lost, would you kill him? And you wouldn't say, oh, it was the Lions.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course we would kill him. You know why? Because he hasn't lost to the Lions at home. That's why we would kill him. Now, to the other thing, you can't bring an argument you're having with other people into the argument you're having with me. It doesn't work like that. You understand that, right? Like, you can't bring another argument to our argument. Like, that's what people are saying. I'm talking about me, okay? Aaron Rodgers did what he was supposed to do against a team that has never beat him at home. So what are we doing? That doesn't discount his efforts last week when he got benched. This is ebbs and flows. I was hard on him last week because he played like turtle poop.
Dung.
Okay? All right? I almost made me cuss on radio.
Don't cuss.
Ephraim, from what you saw, was he – I mean, do you think he's going to go out now have a similar season to what he did last year? I mean, maybe you can't tell after one game, but did you see enough to convince you that he's back?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a top quarterback. Like, this notion that...
Right, this is who he is.
Right, like, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. That's... My thing was I'm questioning, based on him, his action. I was questioning whether he's ready to go, whether he's all in. That's what I was questioning. I'm not questioning his talent, his ability. We all know what that is. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer playing in the greatest era of quarterbacks. That's not ever been a discussion. But when you show up to a game and you're not ready to play, whether you are a first ballot Hall of Famer or a seventh round draft pick, you get what you get. If you show up and you don't play well, then you get what I mean, that's it.
Let's move on. We Rob and I had a debate yesterday. He's saying now that Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the AFC. I got Pat Mahomes. Where are you at on that?
It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's no question. That game between them two was one of the – I could watch that every week. I wish they would play each other every week. All right? Give me that every Monday night, and I'll take it for an entire season. Patrick Mahomes –
go ahead.
Patrick Mahomes is special. Lamar Jackson is dangerous. He's a talent. But every time he runs the ball, I hold my breath, along with the rest of the world and the coaching staff and everybody else. Because as we've seen with these injuries that are happening, especially last week to the quarterback, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much, and it can happen on any play. So the more he's exposing his body, the greater the risk. Patrick Mahomes, on the other hand, bruh, he's gifted. And if they would have punted that ball on fourth down, we knew what was going to happen there. That was not even a question.
Ethan, this is the problem I have with your take on this. Is quarterbacks, most quarterbacks don't do what Lamar Jackson does, which is running the football, and quarterbacks get hurt all the time. And you're like, it's like a demerit. You're like, every time I watch him, I got to hold my breath. Don't worry about that. He hasn't been hurt. Talk about his play and how he changes of the game and how he affects the game. They had no business winning that game coming back from 11 points. Patrick Mahomes' team has never lost a game where they were up by double digits in the fourth quarter. But instead, you focus in on the idea that he could get hurt. That's what I have a problem with. Let's not talk about that. He hasn't been hurt. What about what he's doing? He had as many passing yards as Patrick Mahomes. He had two early interceptions. He overcame that. 100 yards on the ground. Every time he rushes for 100 yards, they're 9-0. Talk about idea that he could get hurt.
You know what? Cam Newton didn't get hurt until he got hurt. Right? The person I played with his rookie year and Michael Vick didn't get hurt until he got hurt. These were dynamic runners. I mean, I'm talking about they could do anything.
Any pocket passers ever get hurt in the NFL, quarterbacks?
Do you understand what risk –
I'm asking you. Did Peyton Manning get hurt?
Do you understand what risk is? Right now, so I know you're a baseball guy. We love that you're a baseball guy.
No. Okay? Don't try to patronize football.
Rob,
I've been covering this league since 1987. Don't patronize.
Rob, you got to let me talk, man. We know how you up in arms with the baseball, and it's October, and it's coming around, and we get the playoffs and all of that. But what I'm telling you, Rob, is on every single play, every person on that field can be hurt and be lost for the season. Every single play. Now, your risk goes up, right? Everything is statistics, right? Everything is analytics and all of that. So if you ask someone who's analytical, who's doing all of these, and you say, hey, are the risks for a running quarterback greater than a pocket passer, what do you think they would say to you?
I get that, but that's all I'm saying.
I love Lamar Jackson. I love what he brings to the table. It's hard to prepare for him, but all it takes on one of those reads is one hit. That's all I'm saying. So for that reason, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the AFC. Is that wrong? Is that a bad thing?
That's your opinion. I disagree.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
All right, y'all good?
I'm always good with Rob.
Absolutely. Ephraim all day, any day, period.
All right.
Strip clubs and chicken wings, man. I'm in.
Great stuff, brother. We appreciate your knowledge.
Thanks. Next week, man.
I love the spirit. I could have just sat that one out and watched.
No, it's all
right. That was fun.
All right, brother, we'll talk to you next week. All right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So ESPN is running the Monday night football games. And then on ESPN2, they run the game with Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and various guests.
Is it on ESPN2 or streaming?
I think it's 2. Rob G, do you know? Because I had it on yesterday.
I thought it was
on Plus. It's ESPN2.
Is it 2?
Yeah, ESPN2.
Oh.
So they had Peyton and Eli are there the whole game, and they brought in Brett Favre. I'm trying to think of who else. Pat McAfee, Rob Gronkowski, you know, they bring in some good guys for a few minutes each. First of all, have you checked that out? Like, I listened to a little bit of it. It's okay. Here's my take on it. They're okay. It is definitely interesting to hear their insight. I mean, obviously Peyton Manning was, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks and smartest quarterbacks to ever play. So it's good to hear his insight. Brett Favre was giving some insight, just some funny jokes. But I got to be honest, I prefer listening to, like, the broadcasters. It's just more professional. I don't know. Maybe I'm used to it, but I prefer that. So mostly I listen to that. Did you check it out at all, or were you able to listen to it?
No, I watched the broadcast. I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I just like to hear what's going on or whatever, and I don't want to be on the couch with the Manning brothers. That's not what I'm looking for.
Have you heard any of it? Have you seen it? What's your feeling on it?
He probably loves it. The millennials probably love it because they don't want tradition.
No, I've only ever watched the highlights after the fact. Like you guys, when I'm watching the game, I'm watching the game. I don't want to hear
other people.
But
you want to watch the game? Right.
Right.
Well, they don't just do – I mean, the game's on.
Yeah.
It's just them talking about it like – I mean, literally,
like you would be watching the game in the living room.
No, if it's after the game, and I can go back and be like, oh, yeah, this is what Peyton Manning was talking about on the Aaron Rodgers 3rd-and-3. Like, that's cool.
Right.
But if I'm watching the game, I just want to watch the game. That's it.
Right. No, and I like the broadcasters. I do, if they're good. And, you know, I think these guys are pretty good. So I'm just more into that. But it has its value. And anyway, Peyton... When he was talking to last night during the game, Rob, he brought up the New England Patriots. I know you'll like this. And the cheating scandals. There's not just allegations. All right. There's been cheating allegations in other ways, but there have been two cheating scandals that we know of, Deflategate and Spygate, of course.
And they got suspended. There was suspension and big fines. So it's not like it's unfounded.
Right. So here's what
Peyton Manning said about that, Rob?
I felt like the Packers were listening to Eli, you and I, our conversation on Friday about we got to come out and run the ball. I think our conversation was bugged, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day. Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers like in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions out there. Oh, little snap count there, E.
There it is, Rob. And let me give you this because I know you want to unleash, but let me just give you this before you do. Eli or Tony Dungy, who obviously coached Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, he said this back in 2015. Now, you can say, was Peyton joking? Was he serious? I think he was serious, but joke. You know, I think there was truth to what he was saying, even though he was said it kind of jokingly. But in 2005, I mean, Tony Dungy is as respected as a man gets in the NFL. And, Rob, he said this on the Dan Patrick Show. He said, we had a few expatriates, you know, expatriate players that said we better be careful what we do in the locker room and what you say and that kind of thing. I think a lot of that is psychological warfare. They want you to think about certain things and worry more about what's going on off the field than on the field. I think at the end that was kind of Tony maybe softening it a little bit, Rob, because why would Patriots, former Patriots players, come to your team, right?
Right.
And tell you, yo, be careful. When you in the visiting locker room at Gillette, watch what you say. So
I still to this day, I do not understand why people have let the Patriots off the hook. And maybe it's not everybody, because there's a lot of people. The Patriots aren't celebrated as much as they should be given all the success that the organization has had. When you win six Super Bowls, you should be lauded and propped up and talk about all the good stuff and how they do handle their business right. But there's always a wink and a nod and a little like wince in your eye, like that's like there's just something that doesn't feel right here. And for whatever reason, a lot of people turn a blind eye to the Patriots. Bill Belichick for Spygate was busted, Chris, and fined the most any coach had ever been fined in the history of the NFL. Tom Brady, instead of just saying, yeah, I told the ball boys to take the air out, it's my fault. I didn't realize he destroyed his phone and wouldn't cooperate with the investigation. And they had to go check and see how he had 100 text messages to the ball boy. I don't know what that's all about. But he wasn't talking about taking the air out of the football. Like just I guess they were buds, and he was texting the ball boy 100 times. I have no idea. And then the other one was with the Bengals. Remember the last time they got busted with that?
Right.
And then, you know, people are like, what do they need help for to beat the Bengals? They're terrible. It doesn't even make any sense. Well, the problem is they had a new coach there, and Bill didn't have anything on them. And they were going, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Signals. He didn't have any info. It was a brand new coach.
Yep.
So it wasn't out of the realm, and they got fined in that again, too, Chris, for that. Who's the other? I just forgot his name. The offensive coordinator.
Josh McDaniels.
McDaniels. Why did he get fired, Chris, in Denver? Do you know why?
No.
Not because he drafted Tim
Tebow.
Not because the team was bad, which they were. He got busted in London videotaping the team that they were playing their signals. The league busted them. Josh McDaniels. Eric Mangini's one of their disciples, one of Bill Belichick's disciples. He said, dude, when he got the Jets coaching job, I know what you're doing. You're not going to do it to me.
Right, right.
I mean, this is all documented. That wasn't like Peyton Manning looking for a cheap joke. He brought that up because it's still back here, Chris, in the back of his head. And there was talk about they would get people in team hotels when guys throw out game notes and stuff like in the garbage, like from Saturday before the game, that they had people at the hotel where the team stayed looking for stuff left behind and stuff in the garbage, notes, you know, plays or whatever, that they would have people go pick up the garbage from the hotel, all kinds of stuff.
Right.
So we're hard on the Astros who got busted, and we should have been because they cheated. We can't stand Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and all that. But for some reason, the Patriots don't get the hate, or not as much as they should, because they have been caught, Chris, convicted, fined, suspended, and it's been on multiple occasions, not just a one-time deal.
Right. I think it's a few things, Rob. I think one, this is Deflategate. This doesn't wouldn't necessarily apply to Spygate. I think Deflategate, and I even was saying at the time, Rob, when they were caught, and you know, some people were saying, "Oh, it doesn't matter to balls." I mean, I shouldn't say anybody that's played football, because there were football players saying, or executives and stuff saying this. But there's no, I don't know how you deny, Rob, that a lesser inflated ball is going to be easier to handle. And you won't fumble. It'll be harder to fumble, I should say.
Rob G, can you look it up that year?
And a little easier to catch.
They had the
too.
Least fumbles, Chris, in the NFL that year.
Right.
That was the year that the Colts said that they were deflating the ball. Go look it up, Rob G. They fumbled like one time all year.
Right.
It makes a big difference.
But I would say this, and I think this is part of why people don't necessarily hold this against them. That game, when it was found out that, you know, the balls in the first half against the Colts were deflated, they were up 17-7 at halftime. In the second half, the balls were regulation. They got rid of the deflated balls and used regular balls, and the Patriots demolished them. They won 45-7. And so I think, just like people look at Barry Bonds, and you're right, he gets heat. There's no doubt he gets much more heat than these guys
MVPs
in the NFL.
Before.
Well, that's my point. People say that. They say, well, Bonds was great before he even used the steroids. We don't know exactly when he started using, but, you know, look at his body, look at the circumstantial evidence. He was going to be a Hall of Famer anyway. Roger Clemens was going to be a Hall of Famer anyway. These are
when
the things you hear.
When he was with the Red Sox and when he was skinny.
And those are the things you hear. So I think there's an element of that, Rob, that all the Patriots would be great anyway. Look at what they did to the Colts in the second half with regulation balls. So I think there's that. And then I think I'll throw this out at you, Rob, too. For some reason, it is different in football than baseball and track. When we talk about cheating, and baseball is obviously a sport where there is a little bit of accepted cheating, so to speak, you know, with Gaylord Perry and, you know, Phil Niekro and guys used to doctor the ball and stuff like that. It's, you know, kind of part of the game on some level, right? Trying to steal signs visually and all that. But, Rob, if you get caught using PEDs in baseball, it's over, right? I mean, Alex Rodriguez, one of the best players we've ever seen. And people, yes, he's resurrected himself as a broadcaster and all that, but there is a stain on his career that won't go away. Track and field, right? Ben Johnson, you can go on and on. If you are caught using PEDs in track and field, Marion Jones, they erase. It's like you didn't even run before. But in football, how many times does a guy get caught with PEDs? He's out for 5 games, and he comes back, and it's no big deal,
right. Chris. 100%. I remember, what was the year there was a player who got busted, and then he was up for the Defensive Player of the Year award. Who was that? Oh, my God.
Was that man Lights Out?
Yeah, maybe it was Sean Merriman. You remember that, Chris? That was the year, but it didn't stop people from saying, oh, he should be the Defensive Player of the Year. And I just thought to myself, boy, what a difference it is in football compared to baseball or track and field where you're like disgraced.
It's over,
And in football, you look, every year there's about 8 or 10 players who are suspended every year in the NFL, and nobody raising an eyebrow. If somebody gets suspended in baseball, it's the top of ESPN.com.
Yep. It is. Oh, it's a huge story. Lyle Collins right now with the Cowboys is out for 5 games.
Remember the splash for that?
It's not going to be a big deal. Yeah, when he comes back, he's going to be right there, and people are going to be like, yeah, they got their line back, and they're, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there'll be no talk of it. So I don't necessarily know why, because – you know, would you say, okay, there's a little, you know, everybody's trying to get an edge and other teams are, you know, looking at video. I don't know how they could justify it, but the same thing, Rob, I could say the same thing for baseball, right? I mean, we know everybody's trying to get signs and you know, stuff like that in baseball. And yet it is not the least bit accepted. So it's odd, but I think that's the only explanation I can really throw out there.
Yeah, but for Peyton to still keep bringing it up, it just tells you that it's there. And then going
away. And even for Dungy, Rob, to say
right.
it. Because you can kind of – a lot of people might look at Peyton as, oh, he was playing around. They're not – Dungy, I mean, that's not the issue with Dungy. So –